Hello, I'm Mark Steiner here with producer Christina Arison at the U.S. Social Forum. This is the second one of these. The first one was in Atlanta several years back. All came out of the World Social Forums, but gatherings of activists from across the globe and across the country. What's amazing about these places, what we've seen here since we've been here, is the multi-racial aspect of this from all across the land, in groups coming from communities, bubbling up from the bottom to create social change. We'll be reporting here for the next 3 days live. We will be working with Free Speech Television. Right now I'm sitting here with Don Rojas, who is executive director of Free Speech TV. We'll be doing a lot of collaborating with them. We'll be doing a little anchoring with them and other stories. And more come in the future. But right now, Don, who's had a long history in the movement. Let's talk a bit about that, because you've been around since... Right. A long time doing this thing.
Time immemorial, right? Yeah, I've been in the movement for several years, let's put it mildly. and also I've been a practicing journalist as well. So I've seen the movement from the inside and also covered it as a journalist. This is an amazing, it's building up to be an amazing event. We were told by the organizers that there were 10,000 plus pre-registrants. And when we got here this morning, the lines for the registration of people who had not registered online were out the door. I mean, so if that's an indication of the attendance, we expect anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 people will be in Detroit over the next several days. And as you pointed out, it's a very diverse, very eclectic crowd of social justice activists who have descended on Detroit from all parts of the country and internationally as well. There are delegations from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America. I understand that the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, has been invited and may attend, depending on his schedule and also depending on... They give him a visa, exactly. That's right. You know, so if that happens, then that certainly would be one of the highlights of the U.S. Social Forum. I attended the last, and that was the first one, actually, in the United States, in 2007 in Atlanta, Georgia. I led the Oxfam delegation at the time to that gathering, and it was impressive. It was a little over 5,000 people, but this is going to eclipse it by quite a distance. And I think it's a statement that the social justice movement is alive and well in the United States, and that it's even after the election of the first African American president in the country, there's still a lot to be done. This social justice movement is ready, poised to take on the challenges.
As someone who has been doing this a while, I mean, if I just say, I mean, you were with Maurice Bishop in Grenada. You were been with Ben Chavis when he was NAACP, his communications director. You were the editor of the Amsterdam News in New York City, in Harlem. I mean, you've been through a lot and done a lot. I just say that because I want to give a background to our listeners to understand where you've been and what you've done. And I wonder what you think the significance of this is. When you look at Copenhagen, where 100,000 people from across the globe, again, mm-hmm. every nation and region led by women and indigenous people and others, mm-hmm. When you saw the Cochabamba Conference of indigenous people mm-hmm. that took place, and now you see this, mm-hmm. U.S. Social Forum with maybe 10,000 to 20,000 activists from across the country. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going on in the world and in America now, what this is emblematic of?
Yeah, I think it's emblematic of ordinary people, young and not so young, from all racial and ethnic backgrounds, feeling that they are empowered to express their voices on the issues. And beyond mere expression, they are prepared to come together, share experiences, share perspectives, and also find a way to collaborate and to work together. They are environmental justice activists, green activists, you might say, from all over the country here. This is an opportunity that they probably never had to really network with each other, talk to each other, plan together. The same is true of black liberation activists who have been around for and doing work in their communities for decades. this is an opportunity to get exposed to each other's work. The same for young people who are involved in youth empowerment movements. Those in the anti-poverty field have come together and began this morning a poverty summit as an event within the larger U.S. Social Forum event. I happen to be present at the opening there this morning. It was very impressive. National welfare groups from around the country have sent representatives here. Anti-poverty grassroots organizations have sent representatives here, and they've all, you know, met this morning at this summit meeting. And it was great to hear, you know, from activists in California and in the South and in the Northeast, all pretty much doing the same kind of work in their local communities, trying to empower, trying to fight poverty at the local level. Because, as they correctly pointed out, there are not a whole lot of national anti-poverty initiatives that are on the public policy agenda at the moment. They want to remind the nation that poverty is a major social problem, but going beyond that, organizing locally based activists to get involved in anti-poverty work. So this is a whole wide range of social justice activities that are going to be taking place, panel discussions, plenary sessions, street actions, cultural presentation. It's an amazing conglomeration of activities that's taking place in Detroit. And there's a reason why Detroit was chosen. Because Detroit, in a sense, almost exemplifies the story of a major American city that has been devastated by the economic crisis of the Great Recession of 2008, continuing into 2010. But also, you might say, sort of globalization coming back home to roost. Here's one of the great industrial cities of the United States. The motor city, basically, you know, the heart of the automobile industry, finding itself decimated by the export of jobs to cheap labor markets in Latin America and Asia and Africa. This city has suffered tremendously, and the people of this city have suffered tremendously over the last decade, compounded by, you know, the recent recession. So you drive around the city, or you may have seen it coming in from the airport. I mean, they're just these images, almost iconic images of urban decay. Right? It's heartrending. But side by side with that, you've got this remarkable and amazing story of communities at the grassroots level taking the initiative to rebuild their communities, to rebuild the institutions in those communities, to revitalize the city of Detroit. And that's the flip side of the story of the U.S. Social Forum, that we at Free Speech TV, working in collaboration with you and others, want to bring to the public's attention. There are hopeful signs emerging from communities here in Detroit, in spite of the devastation caused by the economic crisis.
Now, one of the things that, as you said, made me think of it was that the thing that's different about this, and different than I've seen over the years, maybe you've seen as well, is it just seems to be a national bubbling up from the bottom.
Yes.
In America and across the world, and it seems to be here.
Yeah.
Even though there's not one central organization managing it all, maybe that's impossible, but
right.
And maybe it shouldn't be, but that's what we're seeing. This is what's so significant and different now, I think, about maybe what has happened before this.
Exactly. And the fact that a gathering as diverse as this one is happening in the United States and not outside, not in a Brazil or in India, where a lot of these World Social Forum meetings have been held in recent years. This is happening on U.S. soil in a major American city in the Midwest. Not on the East Coast, not on the West Coast, but smack in the middle of the country. I think speaks volumes. You know, the location, the energy that's here, the diversity that's here. As you correctly pointed out, there are literally hundreds of organizations. There's no way that a central organizing group or committee could dictate to them their agenda. But they have been able to pull them together for 3 or 4 days of dialogue, 3 or 4 days, five days in some cases, of joint planning, joint action, and hopefully at the end of this process, by Saturday, you know, there will be a communique of some sort that will express the collective sentiment of all of these groups that have come together. And I think that's going to be a very, very, very powerful expression of what the kind of movement that you talked about, that's bubbling up from the bottom up in cities and communities across the country.
Just for identification purposes, let's talk for a second before we have to walk towards the march here.
Yeah.
About what free speech television is. And what you're doing there, and people, it'll unfold over a few days what we're doing together. But let's talk about what you're doing here, what Free Speech TV is.
Well, Free Speech TV is based in Denver, Colorado. We are the only national television network that is powered by the viewers. All right, we don't accept or take any corporate money or government grant money. Over 70% of our funds come directly from those ordinary folk around the country who are viewers and in some cases ardent viewers of Free Speech TV. So we are a nonprofit organization. We are not corporate media. We are grassroots, progressive in our politics, and we are expanding because tomorrow, the 23rd, we are going to be launching a public interest channel on DirecTV, right? So we'll have an opportunity beginning tomorrow to reach into some 7 million homes across the country that subscribe to DirecTV, in addition to the 20 million that we currently reach on Dish satellite network. We are broadcasting and webcasting live from the U.S. Social Forum for up to 9 hours a day, beginning today and throughout the rest of this week. So you can view this broadcast on the Internet if you're not a member. I mean, if you're not a subscriber to either DirecTV or Dish, you can still catch our programming on the web.
We're here at the U.S. Social Forum. We just talked to Don Rojas, Free Speech Television, Executive Director of Free Speech TV. And we're about to all exit the building and head over to the march, where it all begins, and we'll give you further reports later.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite, Baltimore's free monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite writers look behind the gritty facade of some of the city's tougher neighborhoods. What they find may surprise you. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations and online at www.urbanitebaltimore.com.